I like that song. Does everybody like it? Yes. Yes, I'm glad you do. It would hurt my feelings if you didn't. Oh, and I just want you to know the bulletin. The bulletin's great. You're doing great. I appreciate, Tom, what you're doing. I do. I'm grateful. We all are. Now, I've got a message I want to get into. You may have mixed feelings about this one, but I've been working on it a long time, and I'm going to sit down so I don't get rowdy. I'll get up anyway, but this is one that needs to be taught and carefully presented. So, but this message is one that I've taken a time on, and I've listened to a lot of people, drawn from personal experience. I listened to some folks who are experts in this field and done everything I can do for God to use me to bring a really potent, effective message. And yet it's a meddling message. But messages from God need to meddle. They need to meddle around in our lives. They need to mess with us. Not to make us mad, but to make us better. So in saying all that, last week we took a clear look at the enemy, how he tempts us to sin, tempts to divide. He attacks the Word of God to cause doubt and all these things, to doubt God's promises and then how to overcome him. And I won't go back over that, but just to catch us up. But this week, now we want to talk about freedom. Freedom from behavior that binds. Freedom from behavior that binds. And so this we need, that's why this background, how the devil works, all this background we've been doing for the last 2 weeks to get to this part. Because that's why we looked at the enemy, what he uses. But here now we're going to focus on the things he uses to bind us up, to tie us up in our Christian lives, in our adult lives. And this passage has its base out of 1 Corinthians 13. And we immediately start thinking, you know, love is, this one's not all the love passage. It's an insert that was made in the middle of it. Because when God gave Paul this word, writing to the Corinthians, about love is patient, love is kind, and it's not jealous, boastful, proud, and all these things, there's an insert here, amazingly enough. It's like a little hiccup, a pause with all this. Love is all these great things, but you're going to have to get past this that we're about to read to experience love. And he talks about faith, hope, love, and the greatest is love. The greatest is love. But he said there's a careful watch it note, and we're going to read that and bring in this message evolves out of that. So we ready? He says, love is partial, you know, he talked about prophecy and all this, but when the time of perfection comes, these things become useless. Then verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke and thought. This is a New Living Translation, by the way. I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All I know now is partial. Are you getting this? Listen to this. All I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. So here it is. And this message evolves from this. Putting away childish things. Dealing with the child within me that's stuck. The things that happened to me as I was, you know, trying to grow up. The way I was raised. All these issues. And because he talks about, you know, I spoke and acted like a child. And you don't have to raise a hand or anything, but how many of you seeing yourselves, seeing people you love, seeing each other, childish behavior and you're wondering, why are they acting like a spoiled brat, or why are they acting like a child? What is going on? But they're acting that way. They're acting out because they're stuck there. They're in an adult body and everything else around, you know, a lot of things are adult, mature, but then there's this childish behavior. Some of us are so childly jealous, it's incredible. Some of us are so childishly intimidated by others. How many of you, if another guy walks up and starts talking to your wife, you just kind of... And how many of you gals, I mean, a woman gets within 5 foot of him and you're going, hussy. I mean, and what's wrong? That's childish behavior. You know, okay. So I'm just setting the tone. And then there's a second part that we can't build on yet, but we're going to come back and build on it another Sunday. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about, you know, strongholds and how we get into strongholds, how they can be good in the beginning, and then they turn against us, and we got to get out. So that's next week. Previews. Got previews. Coming attractions. I want you to come back. I want you to tune in next week, get our ratings higher. Okay, so here we go. But now he says, remember this. Just grab this as we get into this message. He said, all that I know now is partial and incomplete. Don't be so quick to judge someone because we don't have the capability to fully know what's going on with them. We don't know where they're stuck as a child. And he says, now everything I see, I can't see it perfectly. It's like a puzzling reflection in a mirror. And so he's saying, what you think you see in other people may not be right, because we can't see that clearly. We don't have clear vision, spiritual vision. It's muddied. It's because our flesh gets in the way. And this childish stuff. So now let's talk about freedom from behavior. I started to title this Freedom from Childish Behavior, and I thought that'll turn everybody off wherever we get started. So just freedom from behavior, but now you know we're going to look at it, so at childish things. So let's look at this first thing, behaviors that bind us. And I have a little side note, and give the enemy opportunity so you can add that. Behavior that binds us, and you can underline next to that, that gives the devil opportunity. Remember we talked last week, don't give him opportunity. Don't go in places, do things, get near whatever it is you have a weakness towards. Well, with this behavior, don't give him an opportunity, or he'll reach in there. He's a roaring lion, remember, sneaking to devour. So we don't want him to do that. Now, let me just say this straight. We know this, but let's get it out here. And we're going to build from it. At birth, from the minute we're born, we begin to be programmed. We're programmed by our family. We're programmed by our relatives. We're programmed by our environment that we grow up in. We're programmed by the school we go to. We're programmed by our teachers. We're programmed by whatever church affiliation you might have had. If any, you might not have had any. We're programmed by your environment. Think about it. You're programmed. You imitated your parents or somebody else that you looked up to as a child, and you took on behavior there. And if things weren't real good at home, you began to copy the behavior of someone else, maybe a movie star, maybe, you know, could have been John Wayne. It could have been, you know, no talent. But you began to copy that, but in doing that, you never became you. You have become them on stage. You ever give it a thought? Are you living in a role? Did you take on a persona of somebody else because you didn't know who you were and you never developed who you were? We were programmed. Listen, we were programmed early and we were programmed involuntarily. You couldn't help it. Okay, you're programmed. Everybody, you know, we know that. We can accept that together. So if we're going to be mature, we're going to be made whole persons, we need to identify then what childish behaviors is still coming from that programming. You see, help me out here where we're going to. We become bound by childish patterns that hurt ourselves and others. We're bound by those childish patterns. For instance, I'm going to give some examples because I deal with these. And other people that counsel and do biblical counseling and pastoral counseling and all this kind of, they deal with the same issue. We all deal with the same issues. Here's one of the major issues. Many people feel they never measure up. They're never good enough. That nothing they do is ever good enough. And that's a very, very painful feeling to live with. When a child feels that they can never measure up, you know what they do? They put themselves down. They feel guilty. They become defensive. And they begin to blame others for their not measuring up. They turn to wrong behavior, wrong things. They turn to the wrong kinds of people to get in the little groups. They get a group identity. They're doing something else because they can never measure up. And they try to look for a group that'll accept them. And usually that group is not a good group. Everybody doesn't run to church groups. Wish they did. But even some church groups I've known were not that good. So they begin to cover up their mistakes, their faults. They begin to cover up the fact that they don't feel they can ever measure up. And let's just put it bluntly. This is not to put down anybody's family. This is just to make it real and say it like it is. If you grew up in a family where one or more of your both parents were, you know, if anything you did, they were always showing you how you could have done it better. If they told you, you know, son, daughter, you know, just leave it alone. Everything you touch, you mess up. Listen, if a child doesn't know the length of the measuring rod, how can they ever measure up? I want to say to parents, many of you are grandparents in here, but when I'm around parents, younger parents, I want to say to them, you know, I can use that term, and they're looking at me funny, and it's like, it's this. If you don't explain the boundaries, if the kids don't know exactly where the wall is, if they don't know where that line is and don't step over, if you just punish them because you're mad at them because they did something wrong, but they didn't know that was the boundary, if they don't know the length of the measuring rod, then how are they going to measure up to it? And so they'll grow up feeling like they could never measure up. And when that happens, and they ask Jesus in their heart, they're a born-again believer in Christ, guess what? They feel like that they can never please God. Can't measure up. Never worthy. Never, you know, God may save me. I've heard this many times. God may. I hear that. May, He has. You believe in Jesus, you're repenting your sins, yes. You're saved. Maybe, I hope so. And immediately when I hear that kind of stuff, it's like, uh-oh. Here's someone who never got the right kind of approval, felt like they could never measure up as a kid. That is childish behavior. And they're stuck in that, and they're viewing God just like that parent or their family. I can't ever measure up. And so if you feel like you can never measure up, what's your tendency to do? Quit trying. And actually sabotage yourself. You just mess it up because, I can't measure up anyway. How many of you have said these things? Okay, thanks. Yeah. I'll never be good enough. I never could measure up to my parents, my dad, my mom. Everything I did, they corrected. You could have done that better. Here, just leave that alone. I'll do it. You'll just mess it up. And then we look at God that same way. I don't want to beat this to death, but you see it. There has to be boundaries and expectations. That's why God sets boundaries. That's why He puts expectations. And He makes it clear what they are. So that we know when we step over that line, we knew what it was. God doesn't just throw us out there and not tell us how long the measuring rod is. He tells us exactly. He does it for our own good. He doesn't do it to restrict us. He's being a parent. The problem is there's no perfect parent. There's flaws. We're all flawed. people can look at me and they say, you know, you're a pastor, weren't you the perfect dad? Are you kidding? I didn't have a good upbringing. I didn't know how to bring anybody up. I fiddled around and had to do it the hard way. I didn't know how. I tried to follow what Scripture says, but do I think I made mistakes? I know I did. How about you? Did you make mistakes? Did you make the same mistakes that were made towards you? Well, if we grow up without a measuring rod and the length of it and knowing where the boundaries are, then we don't know how to establish them for ourselves or our children. You think about this and you let God minister to you. Do you feel right now this morning that you can never really measure up and please God? And I want to give you this passage. You go back to Ephesians and you check this out. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's not of any works, lest anyone should boast. You know what that says to you? You don't have to do any works to please God. You believe in Jesus Christ. You believe God. You believe His Word. And you measure up. By grace are you saved through faith. This not of yourself. Not of works. Lest somebody start boasting. Let me give you this next one. Low self-esteem. The enemy gets in there when you can't measure up. You don't feel like you can please God. And he starts whispering in your heart. And you've heard it in your mind. You'll never make it. You're not a good Christian. You're not as good as so-and-so. Look at them. They can quote Scripture. They can do this. They can pray so good. Your prayers are so bumbly-fumbly. You sound like a child. And you start saying, yeah, I know I used to. Don't ever agree with the devil. He's a liar and has been from the beginning. You say, I refuse to receive that in the name of Jesus. And I may stutter through my prayers, but God hears my prayers just as well as anybody who can pray real smooth. As a matter of fact, listen to this. The Pharisees were the smoothest praying people you ever saw. And Jesus said, not any of your stuff's going to work. And then there were people out there who stuttered along. There was the publican, who remember, and the Pharisee prayed, oh, look at me, I tithe twice a week, I do this, I don't commit these sins, I'm not like that publican. And the poor publican, you know, tax collector, he's standing back there, and he couldn't even look up to heaven, and Jesus said, he beat his chest and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that publican went home justified rather than the Pharisee. That poor old publican couldn't even pray. God have mercy on me. It's all he could pray in the Pharisee. I give twice a week. I give to the poor. Look at my righteousness just hanging off of me. And God is saying, I'm sick. That's what Jesus was saying. And he didn't get justified. You may stutter through your prayers, but God loves people who don't know how to pray smooth, but pray from the heart. You make that note of that. Now let's look at low self-esteem. When you feel unworthy, when a person feels unworthy, you know what they do? They act out childish behavior. You say, what is that? What is that? You get easily offended. You don't have to raise a hand. Just answer to yourself. Are you easily offended? Do you have people walking on eggshells around you? They don't ever know if they're going to say the wrong word, do the wrong thing, and then you're going to blow. That's childish behavior. This is not to condemn. It's not to pick on anyone. It's to just bring it out and let Jesus Christ heal you, deliver you from this stuff. You're stuck. Do you get jealous easy? Do you get depressed real easy? Do you lash out and criticize when you feel threatened? That's what kids do. Somebody hurts your feelings. Do you just keep talking about it and you just can't let it go? That's what teenagers do. You know what happens when you have low self-esteem? You become hard to get along with. You see yourself as the exception to God's grace and acceptance. people with low self-esteem, they begin to criticize others. They have to bring others down to feel better about themselves. If you see this behavior in yourself, don't get offended. Don't let it hurt your feelings. Let it bring it to God. That's what this is about. This, you know, we leave this childish behavior behind. What is your childish behavior? And identify it. We'll move along because I can't stay on these points very long. I need to put this together. This is not one that I've thought about. Break this in two parts. I thought you can't. This needs to be done as a whole. And let God minister the whole to the whole person. Are you critical? Do you have to put down other people? Say things ugly? You just get this feeling of satisfaction. You've got low self-esteem. A person that has strong confidence in God and know they're accepted and they know the boundaries and they know that they're okay with the Lord. They have a higher self-esteem and they just don't have to worry about putting somebody else down to feel better. They don't have to worry about turning and drinking too much or taking the wrong thing or smoking too much. They don't have to do that. They're good. They know who they are. If somebody whispers something about them, they can handle it. They can give it to God and move on. They know who they are in Christ. Let's look at this third one. This childish behavior, living under a cloud of fear. Do you? Are you stuck there? Are you stuck back there somewhere where you're rejected? Do you live under a cloud of you fear rejection? You fear it. I didn't say dislike it. None of us like being rejected. But do you fear it? Is it a cloud over you? So you're afraid to speak up. You're afraid to be yourself. You're afraid to say a joke or something or just maybe just entertain at the party because you're afraid people will reject you? Fear condemnation, fear of failure. That's a cloud that's hanging over so many people. If we were raised hearing... Listen to this. I'll give you another example. Were you raised hearing these words? We don't have enough money. We can't afford it. We can't make it. We can't go on vacation. We can't go there. We can't take that little trip. You know what? It makes you materialistic. You're always fearful about money. Either you become stingy or you can't get enough. Because you never had it. And you heard those words. We can't make it. We don't have enough. And then you come into God's kingdom and you're fearful and your faith can't grow because you're telling God, we can't do it. I can't do it, Lord. I can't go where you want me to go. I can't do what you tell. I can't give money to those people. I won't have, I can't. That's in your head. You're stuck. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can certainly sell one for you. He said he'll provide all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, but you didn't hear that. This message is meant to free you from bondage. And this will, but we have to hit it in the heart so you can look at and say, God, that's me. Did you ever hear these words? Why aren't you like your brother? Why aren't you like your sister? And you hear God saying it when he's not. Why aren't you like this person? Why aren't you like that person? You see somebody real active in the church. You see some folks here that do a lot. And in your head, in your heart, you're hearing these words. Why aren't you like them? See, you're not good enough. Or God, or you could do that. Christianity is not about being good enough. It's about having faith enough to believe that God accepts me, warts and all. Did anybody ever say to you, you can't do anything right? So you fear doing anything? You won't take a risk? You won't take a challenge? Moving on. Because of all these things, then you end up with a distorted concept of God. you move from a cloud of fear, you have all that, and then you have this distorted concept of God. This gets growly here, okay? You ready? This is going to get better. Right now, this is meddling. It's just God wanting to set you free from things that bind you. Did you have a parent that never hugged you? Never put their arms around you? And never said they love you? That's why you have trouble doing the same thing. And it's why, listen to me, you're stuck there. And that's why you have trouble letting God put His arms around you and accept you and whisper in your heart, I love you. You just can't hear it because you didn't hear it then. And God wants you to take that and give it to Him and let Him truly come into your life and say, I will make up for what did not happen for you. I am your loving Father. Let me love you. Let me hug you. And He's saying to you in relationships, stop stiffening up. When your partner reaches their arm around you, lean into them. Let God love you through your partner. And if you don't have a partner, you got a church family. Let God love you through your church family. We have trouble saying, does anyone have trouble saying the words, I love you? Because you never heard it yourself. I mentioned this last week that you're going to hear this again this week. And here it is. Many Christian people do not see God as a loving, kind, hugging God. They see Him as harsh, mean, or cruel. They see Him as that Old Testament God. Touch this mountain and you're toast. Mess with me and the ground will open up and you'll fall in the pit. But then they turn and see Jesus as loving, compassionate, caring. And the devil wants you to forget they're one and the same. You see Christ. Christ said, if you know me, you know the Father as well. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's over in John. You can read that in John 14, 15. And there it is. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're one. The Father and I are one. What you see now, the way I touch people, the way I hug people, the way that I love them and heal them, and that's the Father. He's not on Mount Sinai. He's here. And He came in the flesh. Christ incarnate. Listen, if something keeps coming up, repeating itself in your life, some habit, some behavior, just these tantrums, these temper fits, these things you're doing, ask God if there is an event in your life that's causing it. Just ask Him, God, I keep throwing these temper fits. I keep stomping my feet. I keep getting my feelings hurt. I give it to Him. Tell Him the truth. God, I'm so jealous. I can't stand it. I'm so insecure. My self-esteem is at the bottom, and I fake it. I'm an actor in church. What is it? What happened to me? Was it just growing up? Was it a teacher? Was it mom? Was it dad? I'm not here to judge them, God, but show me where it happened so I can give it to you, so I can let you heal me and set me free. If it keeps coming up, there's something back there. You're stuck. And if you'll ask God, He'll show you. And listen to Him. Deal with it. Move on. I'm going to say something. I don't mean to offend any counselor anybody or any pastor that counsels, but I'm going to tell you this. This is a message designed for you to take a step back and look with the behavior that you're showing now, that instead of adult behavior, you know it's childish. Go back and look where it's coming from, but don't stay there. Identify it, confess it, ask God to deal with it, and move on. One issue that I have with a lot of counselors today is they keep people living in the past. Every session, they're going to go back to the past, go back to the past, go back to the past. That doesn't heal anybody. Go back to the past to find where you're stuck. You have to do that. Identify that problem. Identify where it is, who it was, whatever happened. And give it to God, and give it to God, and give it to God, but keep moving forward and do what Paul said in Philippians. This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind now, I've dealt with it. God's covered it in the blood of Jesus. I'm free from it. And move on to the prize of how I call to God in Christ Jesus. That's proper counseling. You take people back to find the problem, the root, and then get them out of there. You know what keeping people in the past session after session does? Makes money. Sounds rude and crude, but it's real. Friend, God wants to deliver you from a distorted concept of himself. Believe me, I'm closing. So we're getting close now. Aren't you glad? He said, boy, this has been a meddling message. All right, let's look at correcting this childish, ungodly behavior. Identify it. If you can't find it, ask God to show you. Why am I so temperamental? Why am I so critical? Why am I so judgmental? Why am I so insecure? Why can't I say to my kids, my husband, my wife, on a regular basis, I love you? Jesus tells you every day, all during the day, he loves you. Why can't I hug? Why can't I accept a hug? Where did that come from? And then let me give you this. This is counseling 301, a little advance. You ready? Identify the behavior and then own it. You quit blaming others. That sounds bossy. I got told here a few days ago I was too bossy. I said, Tony, you try to help people, but instead of saying, would you consider, not blaming others, I just simply say, stop blaming others. All right. You know what I use for a defense, right? Well, God says that to me in there. I read the scripture, and there's things he doesn't want me to do. Thou shalt not do it. You get that? Lousy excuse. So I'm trying to be more gentle with this, but the truth is, own your behavior and don't blame somebody else for it. There comes a place, friends, listen, little kids, children, blame everybody else. If you're still blaming people for what's happening in your life, stop it. Own it. Just own it. And give it to God. Trace the behavior back to its source. The Holy Spirit will help you do it, because he wants you whole, and he wants you mature, and he wants you well. Now, you ready for the one that hurts here? You ready? Okay. Because this one here is this was the one that's going to grab you. You want to be freed from this childish behavior? You want to be a mature, whole person in Christ? Forgive the person you think is responsible. Forgive them no matter what. And until you do that, you'll stay stuck. Well, Tony, you don't understand what it's like to be physically abused. You don't know what it's like to be raped, to be molested. You don't know what it, and on it goes. I may not know what it's like because I haven't personally experienced some of those things. But God knows what it's like. And God knows that that's kept you in bondage to whatever age you are right now. And you're putting other people in bondage through the childish behavior that erupts from it. So go back, admit it, and forgive that person. If they're alive, forgive them. If they're dead, forgive them. But you've got to forgive them because God forgives you, and you must forgive them for no other reason than to free yourself from bondage. Let it go. You're not negating the fact it happened. You are getting rid of what it did to you. Why should the fact that someone touched you, messed with you, or didn't love you, whatever it was, 40, 50, 20, 60 years ago, why should that be a chain around your neck now? Let God give you the grace, and He will, ask Him for it, to forgive no matter what. Then secondly, forgive yourself. Because if you don't, you're going to feel guilty for your behavior. You see this? You're going to feel guilty for childish behavior when you commit it and you just stay wadded up all the time and in bondage. So forgive the person that you think is responsible, and forgive yourself for your childish behavior, because God, it forgives you. Accept God's forgiveness. And then do this. Ask God to set you free. Ask God to set you free. God, set me free. I don't want this chain of bondage on me anymore. I don't want to erupt in childish behavior and blame others for it. Well, you made me mad. You did it. You looked at me wrong. You talked about me. Oh, it's childish behavior, and you know it, and own it, and confess it, and let God deal with it. Focus on what God, on what Jesus Christ says about you, and nothing else. He said, I love you so much, I give my life for you. Own it. For God so loved you, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever you would believe in Him, you will have everlasting life. He loved you that much. And it says He did not come into the world to condemn it. He did not come in the world to condemn you, but to save you. And when the Pharisees came to Him, they said, you're eating with all these sinners and all this junk. And Jesus looked at them and He said, it's not the well people that need the doctor. It's the sick. And I've come to help the sick. And you have some sick behavior. And Jesus is here to set you free and make you well. He's here to give you sight, hearing. He's here to help you walk again. Do you see this? Spiritually, emotionally, mentally. To let you be a real, live, born-again believer, a live human being free on the earth in Jesus Christ. Now, most significant, renew your mind about yourself. You're going to have to get out, as old Zig Ziglar used to say, get that stinking thinking out of your head. Romans 12. Give me a moment. I usually don't have a problem turning to it, but I lost my marker. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Now listen to this. The kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. Now here it is. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. There it is. This is not from a counseling book. This is biblical all the way. And there's the passage. Be transformed. Change the way you think. And only Jesus Christ can do that. I close giving you this prayer to help you pray to be set free from bondage. And I close with this prayer. Thank you, God, that you love me. Thank you, God, for accepting me. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. Thank you, God, that through the power of you, your Holy Spirit, you set me free from my past. Thank you, God, for freeing me to really live now. Thank you, God, for making me a free person in Jesus Christ. Amen.